Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, why don't you find the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Last Wednesday night, we began talking about, we talked about how we're redeemed from the curse of worry. This morning, I want to kind of tag along to that and talk about let not your heart be troubled. A lot of things could trouble your heart today, but Jesus has something to say about that. Amen. I have to, I'm not telling you what to do, but I have to limit my intake of the news. You understand? And let me just explain to you that you know, the headlines are used to pull you in. Amen. I'll see headlines, and the headlines say something that really isn't reality. And so, but you got to, you know, everybody's different, but I got to limit my intake of the news. I got to limitate, and I love our country, and I'm concerned about what's going on. So I am informed about things that are going on, but I just got to watch. I don't let that be on my mind, because that's not going to help. Amen. One guy said, and I thought it was good. This is not an exact quote, but it's pretty close. He said, if your intake of the news is more than your intake of the Bible, your pain is self-inflicted. Isn't that good? Your pain is self-inflicted. You're hurting yourself. Amen. You might have a little bit of that, but you got to watch. You don't overdose on that, because the reality is what God said is going to come to pass. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said that in the last days, he didn't say it in these words, but he taught it, that peace would be a rare commodity in the last days. He said men's hearts would fail them for fear because seeing what's coming on the earth. But he said to us, you lift up your heads. You rejoice, because your redemption is about to happen. Hallelujah. So that's our posture. Our posture isn't head down, depressed. Our posture is looking up. Savior's coming. Hallelujah. And even before he comes, how many know he takes care of his people? Amen. So, you know, I remember when, you know, certain things, certain commodities get sparse sometimes. I remember going through the toilet paper thing. Wasn't that wonderful? I didn't even know anything was going on. You know, I mean, and I'm out for a run one day, and I'm listening to talk radio, and Rush Limbaugh's on. He talked about, oh, it's not a big deal. You got leaves. I went home, told folks, did you know there's a toilet paper shortage going on? So we did like everybody else. Go there and buy a bunch of toilet paper. That's why there was a shortage. Amen. But how many know, thank God, our toilet paper overfloweth now. I lived through a lot of this stuff. That's why I don't pay much attention to it today. But I lived through the 70s when we were running out of gasoline. You know, you conserve, save a gallon a week. Remember that campaign, save a gallon a week, you know, President Carter and all that, you know. And all of it was just, you know, it just fear. And you can't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Let's look at this in John chapter 1, or chapter 14, I'm sorry, verse 1. Jesus said it. How many know Jesus said this? Red letter, right? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be, the Amplified Bible says, distressed or agitated. You adhere to, you trust in, you rely on God, adhere to, trust in, and rely on me. So Jesus said, you don't let your heart be troubled. You do it. Now look at the 27th verse of the same chapter. He says it again. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. How many know the peace that we have isn't like the peace that the world has? You know, I've said it many times. You know, I saw the you know, peace through life insurance. I've seen these things. Peace through life insurance. Well, I've got life insurance. All right, I'm glad I do. If I should go to heaven, then I'm glad to know my wife's taken care of. All right, but that doesn't give you Bible peace. Then I saw one. Many of you will remember these from years ago, the Michelin tire commercials, where they had the baby in the middle of the tires. Peace because you got Michelins on your car. Well, I got Cooper tires on my truck, but I still have peace. Then I saw one in our local paper, peace through a prepaid burial plan. And I thought, you know what? It doesn't give me a lot of peace to know there's a hole out there waiting on me. It gives me peace to know if I go in the hole, I'm coming out. That's what gives me peace. And I, thanks to a dear lady, a precious lady, Phyllis and I, we have a hole waiting on us now. Amen. All right, praise God. Somebody blessed us with some burial plots. Praise the Lord. I'm hoping for the rapture. Amen. But Jesus said, verse 27 again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Notice here he says it again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So how many know it's your job and my job to not let that get in us? We have to fight that off, see. People say, well, I can't help what I think. Well, yeah, you can. See, Jesus, even in Matthew 24, he said that you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't let it bother you. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What that's saying is that whatever you put in your heart, that's what's going to manifest out in your life. See, people say, well, it's none of your business what I do with my life and my body and all that. Well, certain things people do manifest out in public and we have to deal with you, so it does make it our business. It's like pornography. People say, it's none of your business what I watch. Well, the thing of it is the problem is that what you put in your heart, it comes out and people do stupid, crazy, weird things. And then we have to deal with you. And so, of course, we don't put anything in our heart. Let me say it this way. You shouldn't put anything in your heart that you don't want manifested in your life, because it will show up. When God wanted Abraham to be a father of multitudes, he changed him on the inside first, didn't he? Isn't that right? He you remember Pastor Chuck took you to Abraham chapter 4? You had to be here. But he was trying to get everybody to go to Abraham chapter 4. But what he meant was Romans chapter 4, where Abraham's at, all right? Well, I had a friend of mine was preaching one, and he was trying to go to Galatians and Colossians, and he said, go to Galatians. Put them both together, that's what you get. Well, help me understand that Abraham, God made him a father of a multitude, but he didn't do it on the outside first. He did it on the inside. And like Pastor Chuck was teaching, Abraham changed his name, and he didn't. There wasn't days he woke up and thought, I probably shouldn't use that name today because I don't feel like a father of a multitude. He just kept saying what God said. You should call yourself what God calls you, right? Even though it doesn't look like it, like it didn't look like it with Abraham, did it? But he called himself what God called him. Amen? We may talk about him a little bit more in this message if we have time. Now, John 16, go there, John 16. We're going to look at some scripture today. Hope you got your Bible with you. If not, just look on with somebody else or listen real close. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And I have circled in my Bible because it stood out to me. In when Jesus said, in me, peace. See that? In me, peace. In the world, tribulation. Right. How many know we better keep ourselves in Him? Right? In other words, what I believe you could say is Jesus is saying, if you'll make life about me, and not about the world, you'll have peace. You make it about Him and what He can do, and your heart won't be troubled. Your heart won't be troubled. He's a miracle worker. I mean, He still is a miracle worker. He does miracles. Praise God. So, Pastor, I need one. Well, thank God you're in the right place. I said, thank God you're in the right place. Because there's a miracle worker that comes to our services. His name is Jesus. Amen. I've seen people in this church get miracles, miracles of healings. Amen. If you feel like you've had, I mean, we've all had healings. Probably most everybody here has had healings. But there's some of you, you've had miracles that saved your life. Yeah. Right? Because God's still a miracle worker. Yes, amen. And I understand that we all face troubles. Jesus said in the world, there will be tribulation. But don't make it about the tribulation. Make it about Him. Build your life around Him. Build your life around His sayings. Trust in Him. Like He said, you believe in God? Believe also in Me. Adhere to, rely on, cling to Me. Amen. And let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's kind of like if you got a friend that's big people call him big. I was telling some guys the other day, I played football when I was a freshman, a little bit when I was a sophomore. Drugs got in the way. Having to get your hair cut got in the way. I know that's funny to you right now. Lucia is just fascinated with the fact that I don't have hair. I mean, she goes, where's your hair? Why don't you have any hair? She's just fascinated with that. Phyllis said, I told her something. I said, well, when I was a baby, my parents couldn't afford hair for me. Phyllis said, don't tell her that. She'll believe it. Well, she just can't let go of that right now. And it's so cute. I just love it. But anyway, she may come up this morning as soon as she gets in here. Where's your hair? Now, I'll tell you something. Those days, I had it, right? So, you know, that got in the way. The coach said, cut your hair. I thought, yeah, I'm a hippie. I'd rather have hippieville than football. So I made it halfway through the freshman year, the sophomore year. But I remember my freshman year in practice, you know, we had a guy on the team, and you'll remember him. He was probably about 6'6", 6'7". I would say he's near 300 pounds. Remember Perry Goff? Remember him? I think he was in your class. Pastor Chuck's. Maybe, yeah, he might have been in mine. Pastor Chuck's a lot older than I am, about a year. Anyway, we went to the same high school, you know. Anyway, but Perry, he's a big, big guy. He's really big. He's bigger than anybody in here. And so I remember one time we were practicing, you know, kickoffs, you know, and you gotta keep your lane. You know what I'm saying? The guy coming down your lane, you're supposed to block him. He was in my lane. And all I remember is, and I'm not making this up, I remember flying back in the air. It felt like I went 15 yards. I probably didn't go that far, but shoot. I mean, it was no contest, man. I know I haven't always been this hunk of a man that I am now. I certainly wasn't then. I was a little guy. But he just happened to be in my lane, and it was my job to block him, and I tried, but it didn't fly. I flew, but it didn't fly over very well. But anyway. Now I don't even know why I told you that story. That's a good story, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, right? That was tribulation. There we go. You're going to have tribulation. But He said, make it about Me. Make it about Me, and you'll have peace. See, in other words, let Him get involved. Let Him do a miracle for you. Trust Him. Rely on. Cling to Him. And don't let your heart be troubled. You got somebody on your side. Now, what I was going to say was, you know, sometimes when you got a bigger brother, I mean, they can, you know what I'm saying? They can stand up for you. You know what I'm saying? We got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. We have a Lord and a Savior that's on our side, and He's going to help us in life. And when He says, I've overcome it, He's not just saying, I've overcome it. What's wrong with you guys? No, He's saying, I've overcome it for you, and I'll help you. I know how to beat things in life. How many think Jesus could can beat anything comes his way. How many know he did beat anything that came his way? Remember they said to him, Pilate said to him, I have power to crucify you. Remember him telling that? Jesus said, you have no power unless it was given you from above. In other words, unless this was the will of God, you couldn't touch me. You couldn't touch me. This is the plan of God. That's the only reason why you can touch me, Pilate. You can't do it because I could call. Remember, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels and they'd come and deliver me. 72,000 angels, he said, and they'd come right now and get me out of this. Well, thank God. How many thought we're joint heirs with him? Yes. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'm just saying you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You say, Pastor, a lot of bad things going on. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. I've overcome the world for you. I'll help you beat it. Isn't that wonderful? He's still with us. You know, he's still here on Sunday mornings. How many know that? Thank God he's here on Monday mornings. You know, he told John in Revelation, he said, I am he that walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks, the churches. And he says, I have the seven stars of the pastors in my right hand. In other words, when we show up on Sunday morning, he shows up. He says, I'd like to hear a message from God. How many of you go to church on Sunday morning and you got a pastor that listens to God? You're hearing from Jesus that morning. I don't just make stuff up. I don't just go back and pull out a file. You know what I'm saying? I just say, Lord, what do you want to feed your people today? And, you know, he knows what we need. Amen. And you say, well, the message wasn't for me. Well, shout that you're victorious and you're so smart. You're so mature. You don't need it. But praise God. Thank God somebody else got something. You know what I'm saying about? I was in a service one time and everybody's just rejoicing. I was there to preach and they're just rejoicing and I'm just want to go preach. Just let me preach. Everybody settle down. Calm down. And I'm really not. This is dumb. It's stupid, but I'm just showing you how dumb you can be if you're not thinking right. And I'm just thinking, will y'all just calm down. Let me get up here and preach. And the Lord said, if you weren't in something, what did he tell me? Do you remember? I've told this for years, but he told me something. He spoke to me and he said, if you would enter in, that'd get off on you. And I thought, oh, okay, I will. Go over to God. It got off on me. Amen. Now I'm thinking, let's just praise the Lord. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because rejoice with those that rejoice. Yes. Right? Yes. Maybe you say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, thank God somebody did. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, Dr. Barclay said one time he was at his church and they were doing a song. He said, I don't care for that song. And he looked around and everybody's rejoicing. He said, well, all right. Other people seem to like it. Praise the Lord. Just because it doesn't ring your bell doesn't mean it doesn't ring somebody else's bell. Maybe your bell's broke. Maybe it's cracked. Amen. Come on, are you with me this morning? All right, so Jesus said, make it about me, because in the world you're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome it. I've overcome it. He didn't say you wouldn't have any problems. He said, I've overcome it. You'll overcome it. Amen. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read a few verses there. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're just talking about let not, it's your job, my job, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. One way is don't fill it with troubling things. Right? You know, Pastor Chuck, Mark's not here, so let's pick on Pastor Chuck Day. Pastor Chuck, you know, and I don't know if he still does this, you still do this or not, but he used to like, especially the Colts game, he'd watch the end of the game to find out who won. You still do that. You know what? Because it troubles his heart to watch the game and not know whether the Colts are going to win or lose. And I kind of get that, you know. You know, the Colts were playing. Who were they playing? They were playing. No, it was Indiana. IU was playing Oregon, number 3. And I was like, man, I was so wanting IU to win that game. You know what I'm saying? But I recorded it. I didn't have time to watch it. I was out doing something. I was with ministry and all. Didn't have time to watch, but I recorded it. So I'm out to eat on Sunday. I haven't even watched it, and it's Sunday night. I haven't watched it yet. Sunday night. Let's play it on Saturday. I still don't know who won. But I'm out to eat, and one of the preachers said, Indiana beat Oregon, 30-20. I thought, oh, now I know. It was so much easier watching that game, because when the Indiana started doing bad, I think, they're coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. I know how it's going to end. And there were times during that game it looked like, uh-oh. But I thought, nah, my heart's not troubled. I already know who won. How many know? We read the back of the book. We won. We got the promises of God. We know how it's going to turn out. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Believe in God.
Yes.
You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. You hear to, rely to, cling on God. We all face trouble. So I came to Oasis Church, I wouldn't have any trouble. Well, you found out you still have trouble, right? But we would try to teach you how to be victorious, how to win. Amen. According to what the Bible says. See, we're not just, it's not just this mentality, this positive thinking. Positive thinking is better than negative thinking, but positive thinking apart from the Word of God is that's all it is. It's positive thinking. There's no power to it.
Right.
It is better than negative, right?
Right.
You know, remember the guy that wrote the book, Power of Positive Thinking? Norman Vincent Peale? You know? And of course, he got flack from that from people in the church. I'm thinking, isn't thinking positive better than thinking negative? I mean, but you know, and he even said himself, he said, I would have called it the power of positive faith, but nobody would have bought it, but, you know, because of the word faith. But anyway, and I'm not promoting him or his ministry, he's already in heaven. I'm just simply saying that, you know, our thinking isn't just natural positive thinking. It's thinking by what God has said about us. Thinking in line with what he said. He said to renew your mind. See, here's the problem with your mind. Your mind wants to solve everything. Doesn't it? See, men are geared that way. I don't think women need to understand that if you tell us you have a problem, you know, well, I started to say, well, let's just say it this way. There are different kinds of men. You understand? There's good men, like me and Pastor Chuck, and sometimes Pastor Jerry. There's other men that don't pay attention. I mean, men are geared to fix it. You tell them you got a problem, we think we got to fix it. He said, my husband don't. He just keeps reading the paper, watching the game. Well, I said there's good men and bad men. Anyway, you can always reform your guy. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Praise the Lord. Just keep bringing him to church. We'll help him. Amen. Here's the thing. Your brain thinks its job is to fix everything. It has to be renewed with the Word of God to think like God thinks. Right? See, renewing of the mind means I look at things the way God looks at things. I don't look at things the way the world thinks about them. I look at them the way God thinks about them. This is Pastor Chuck talking this morning about sowing. There's sowers. Like he said, there's eaters. You know what the problem is? It's everybody's an eater. Pretty soon we don't have anything to eat because nobody's sowing. So, but that's opposite of the way the world teaches. The world teaches, you know, that you hang on to what you have. You put it away. You put it in banks. You stuff it under mattresses. When my father passed on, we found $14,000 in a flower vase. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying that's not God's way of being blessed is to give. Sure, he gives you bread to eat, right? Seed to sow, bread to eat. You know, you sow your seed, eat your bread. Praise the Lord. But I'm just simply saying you have to renew your mind to think like God thinks. Amen. See, I saw just this morning there's a new kind of Bible coming out, and it's a Bible that changes the way God thinks about things so that we all accept everything. Well, it's not Bible just means book, but it ain't a holy Bible. And you can, listen, it doesn't matter if we all tell God he's wrong. Guess what? End of the day, he's right. Amen? Doesn't matter if we throw all our Bibles away and make our own Bible that accepts everything going on that we want to happen. Amen. doesn't change. God doesn't change the Word. His Word abides forever. Heaven and earth passes away, but the Word's still there. So in the end, you're still going to answer to that book and to our God. It doesn't matter what we say or do. So you may feel, you know what I mean? I don't want to feel good on the way to hell. I want some troubling to wake me up from that. Amen. Amen. Dr. Summer say, if you preach and you don't make people mad, cry, or happy, that's not good preaching. You ought to do something. Amen. I know he asked Dr. Berkeley one time, he said, what are you doing? And Doc said, well, I've preached tonight. He said, well, did you make anybody mad? He said, I don't seem to have a problem with that. He said, did you make anybody cry? Yeah. He said, did you make anybody laugh? He said, yeah. He said, oh, that's good preaching, son. How many know God's Word is a lot of things? It's comfort to our soul. Sometimes it's a hammer that breaks things up. Jeremiah said that. His Word's like a hammer. Sometimes it's corrective. Sometimes it's encouraging. But it just fixes us. How many know? How many know sometimes we need fixing? How many would believe that? Oh, I've got it all together. Yeah. You, number one, needs fixing. We all need fixing. Amen. All right. This is good preaching. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm just going to... Now, did you find Philippians? Go there. Verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for how many things? Or your Bible might say anxious, if you guess this is the old King James. Be anxious or don't be worried about anything. Let not your heart be troubled. But in everything, by prayer, how many things? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, I see something. How many know what to do? This is a deep question. I just want to see how educated you are. How many know what to do when your pants are on fire? Somebody said it. What? Stop. Drop. And roll. Y'all don't know that? I'm glad your pants never caught on fire. You'd burn up. What does it mean? Matt, if your pants catch on fire, you stop what you're doing, you drop to the ground, and you roll to put the fire out. How many know when the devil tries to set your pants on fire, you do the same thing? You stop worrying. Be careful for... What does that mean? Stop it. Drop to your knees to pray, right? In everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto who? God. So you stop worrying, you drop in prayer, and you roll it over on the Lord. So when the devil tries to light your pants on fire spiritually, you stop, you drop, you roll. You do those things. If you don't do that, how many know you're not going to get rid of it? People say, well, Pastor, just pray for me. I'll never worry again. Well, listen, prayer's good, but you got to do what the Bible says. Yeah. How many know that? Yeah. Oh, I wish there was some kind of, I wish I had something in my office like that where I could, you know, take a staff, you know, and just tap you on the head. And it fixes everything. Man, you kidding me? If I had that, I'd tap myself on the head. No, there's nothing like that. You got to do what the Bible says. Let me know that. Listen to this. This is the definition of care. Remember, we talked about Wednesday night, if you were here, we talked about we're redeemed from the curse of worry. Worry is a curse. It's not a blessing. All right? It's in Deuteronomy 28. It's under the curse. Galatians tells us Christ redeemed us from the curse. So we're redeemed from that. But Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curse of worry, fear, anxiety. See, here's the definition of care. Remember, we talked about it's mental suffering, and that you could have mental suffering. How many just like you could have physical suffering? Right. How many people? There's people that have maybe something wrong with them physically. They have physical suffering, but you could have worry, and worry is mental suffering. It causes you to suffer mentally. How many? It's not worry's not fun, is it? No. Not for me. No, I don't like it. So. Here's the definition of the word care here. This word care means mental suffering. It means grief, oppression of the mind, weighed down by responsibility, disquieted by apprehension, a troubling or an engrossing affair. So how many know it's not good? I said it's not good. Mark 11:24 tells us what to do, what things soever you desire. When you pray, do what?
Believe
you receive them and you shall have them. Now, literally, if you were to translate that even closer to the Greek, you might translate it this way, and even some translations do this. What things you ever desire, when you pray, believe you have, past tense, receive them and you will have them. See, we talked about this just a little bit while ago. See, that doesn't mean that, you know, when you get up from the place of prayer that you automatically, you have it. It means you've received it. It's like I said, it's like with the Amazon packages. They're on the way. I've ordered it. It's on the way. And I'll ask Alexa where my packages are at. She'll tell me, you got a package arriving today by 10 o'clock. You got two packages arriving tomorrow by 10 o'clock. So I know it's on its way. Amen. And so it's why? Because I've placed my order. I believe I've received. Y'all follow that? See, but it doesn't mean that I have it yet, but it's on its way. So I said, where's your healing at? It's on its way. Where's your financial breakthrough at? It's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. How many know God doesn't need GPS to find you either? You ever got your package delivered to the wrong place? Sure. God doesn't do that. He doesn't heal one person. Oh, I meant to heal somebody else. Sorry. No, I mean, he didn't do that. Yeah, looks like this woman. She was in her 40s. A friend of mine told me this a long time ago. I've never forgot. He said, there's two things you don't do in life. Number one, you never ask a woman her age. Amen. I had to use it the other day. There's a woman behind me in line. I was taking a package back, and there's a woman behind me in line. Big, long line here, you know. And so these couple ladies are behind me, and they're talking about, and one's talking about, well, you just don't look that age, you know. And I kind of turn around. I'm looking at something, and that lady says something. The lady that said, telling the other, you don't look that age, says something to me. Does she look like she's? I said, I never ask a woman how old she is. She says, well, she's 76. I said, ma'am. You've aged well. Praise the Lord. A friend of mine told me years ago, he said, never use the word, never ask a woman how old she is, and never use the word large and woman in the same sentence. I've lived by that. Praise the Lord. All right, where was I at before I got off on this rabbit trail? You paying attention, Pastor Jerry? Do you even know what we're preaching on today? Mark 11:24, thank you. It doesn't mean you have it yet, right? The package is on its way. So I think this is where people get all, this is where they cast off their faith. Remember the Bible says, cast not away your confidence? I think this is where people cast away their confidence because they don't have it yet, they think it's not real. It's not on its way. No. The believing you received it, believing you have received it when you prayed according to Jesus, it's on its way. It's on its way. Amen. You say, well, I wish I'd drive her to get here. Remember that story that one preacher told about a guy in his church, his little son, him, they prayed and agreed about something. And yes, the manifestation. This pastor said he had a guy in his church. And he's had a little boy, and they prayed about, agreed about something. The little boy was wanting something. I don't even remember what it was, but the little boy's wanting something, you know, and it's scriptural. And so they prayed, and a few days later, the little boy asked his father, said, "Where's it at?" He said, "Son, the manifestation's on the way." So a few days later, the little boy asked him again, "Son, where's?" He goes, "Dad, where's that at?" He said, "Son, the manifestation is on its way." So waited a little few more days, and he asked him again, Dad, where is that at? He said, Son, the manifestation is on his way, is on its way. He said, the little boy said to him, Dad, when is the man from the station ever going to get here? Well, how many know he's coming, right? Because God cannot... What? He cannot lie. Remember Daniel prayed for something one time, and it took 21 days for that angel got there, didn't it? He said he was in warfare. He was in warfare. It took time to get there. But yet, God's not a man that he should lie. Amen? I hope that helps you this morning. I don't know. God seemed to have us emphasize that today for some reason. But don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Amen. Now, all right. Now, verse 7 says, after you've prayed... After you let not your heart be troubled, you prayed, you've rolled over on the Lord. It says, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? Yes. See, let not your heart be troubled. Then he tells us, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just and pure and lovely of a good report, if there be any virtue or be any praise, think on those things. Sometimes, you know, we got to watch what we allow ourselves to just meditate on, think on. Amen? Remember, Abraham considered not the problem, right? Is this right? You have to do what Peter said. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, the humbling part is this. Why would you have to humble yourself to cast your care over on the Lord? Well, because you have to realize you're not Mr. Fix-It. Remember, we talked about that. Your brain wants to fix everything. You got to say, just shut up. You don't know how to fix this. Quit giving me ideas. Amen. Your brain will give you some really seeming like good ideas to it. But you just shut up. I've rolled it over on the Lord. You have to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, this is real important because the reason why people carry their care is because they don't humble themselves under the hand of the Lord. And let him handle it. They really don't believe he'll do anything about it. But he will, won't he? If you give it to him. Amen. Let me say this. I want to look at one more scripture if you give me the time. But I want to say this. Don't let your trouble speak louder than God's word.
Yes, amen.
Did you know when God, in Exodus 6, when God sent Moses to the children of Israel. He said, you go tell them these things. And he says several things, but in a nutshell, I've seen their oppression. I've remembered my covenant. And I'm going to deliver them from the oppression of Pharaoh and Egypt. And I'm going to bring them into the land that I swore to their fathers. Good news. I said, good news. So Moses goes to the children of Israel. He tells them what God said. He gives them God's word. And the Bible said they didn't hear him for anguish of soul and cruel bondage. In other words, their trouble was so loud, it spoke louder than what God said. We can't let our trouble be louder than the word. Because it tries to. But you got to let the word speak louder in your life. The word means more to me than what that trouble does. Does that make sense to you at all? I mean, you got to let that talk louder. Amen. You got to let it talk louder. Now, let's go to Romans 8. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
We're just talking about don't let your heart be troubled. There's a good reason why, because we have someone working on our behalf. Amen. Romans chapter 8, we'll close right here. Romans the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read to you a scripture we're familiar with. We see it on coffee cups, and T-shirts, and keychains. But it's usually taken out of context. You know, we do that sometimes. How many know that? And then we market it. There's that, what's that? I forget what it's called now. But there's that little jewelry piece where One person has part of it. The other person has the other part and says, the Lord watch between me and you when we're apart. We think, isn't that cute? You got to read that. What it was about was Laban and Jacob, and it meant watch over so we don't cheat one another. So when you give that to your best friend, what you're really saying is, Lord, watch over me so I don't cheat you, and watch over you so you don't cheat me. We've made it a cutesy little thing, and it doesn't mean that at all. I'm sorry. I've ruined your day, at least your afternoon. You got to read the other scriptures around it. How many know that? Amen. We used to sing a song back in the charismatic days. They rush on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. That was not a good army. It wasn't the army of the Lord. It was an invading army. But we made us, the Blow the Trumpet in Zion was the name of the song. Blow the Trumpet. And I guess if you used it in the right way, maybe it'd be okay, I guess. But really, honestly, we didn't realize this was not a good thing. God was talking about an invading army coming on the walls, not God's army. Anyway, so I never heard of that song. That's good. Praise the Lord. We sang a lot of unscriptural songs over the years. Amen. Amen. Now, let's look here in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. And this is where we're closing out this morning. It says, and he that searches the hearts, I mean, that's God the Father. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what's on the Spirit's mind because he, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? The Holy Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. And now verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Have you ever heard that verse? And it's been used in wrong ways. It's been used to say, well, you got cancer. Yeah, but all things work together for good. And God's going to get good out of that cancer. And you had this happen. And God's going to get, no. He's talking about all things the Spirit's doing is going to work out for our good. Because He makes, why? Why is it going to work out for our good? Why is it all things the Spirit doing going to work out for our good? Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What He's doing on your behalf is according to the will of God. All right? So here's the thing. If we keep our care, we keep our worry, how many know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have it. He can't make intercession for us if we haven't turned it over to the Lord. But if we have care or worry and we turn it over on the Lord, casting all your care upon me for I care for you, when we do that, then the Spirit's able to get involved and make intercession for us. And we know when that happens, all things, they come at us, all that, it'll work together for good. God will turn that thing around. Y'all following what I'm saying? It's not just like this. It's an automatic thing that everything comes on your life is going to work out for good. I mean, we know that's not true. We've had things come in our life that didn't turn out for good. There's not some kind of deep mystery behind this. Jesus went about, like, you know, people talk about, well, that sickness is for your good. I mean, that's never found in the Bible. Jesus went about doing good. He's the one that did good. And He healed everybody who's oppressed of the devil. So that was the good, not the sickness. All right, so you know, I know that's preached, but that's just a cop-out. Come on, help me out, somebody. That's just a cop-out. That's a cop-out. Don't go for that. But when you do turn your care over on the Lord, He's got it. The Holy Spirit's able to make intercession, and all things will work out. It'll work out. God will work it out. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He'll work it out. How many know that? He'll work it out. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, He'll work it out. Praise God for His Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.